So today's shiur is going to be on Pesach. So, Pesach. What's Pesach? There's not many mitzvahs in the Torah that have chorus. There's two mitzvahs in the Torah that have chorus. Mitzvahs asay.
Chorus.
Chorus is spiritually being cut off from the Jewish people. That's pretty bad. There's only two mitzvahs which have chorus. One of them is... No, it's a lav. Mitzvahs asay, as we know. There's many mitzvahs lavim that have chorus. But mitzvahs asay that have chorus, there's only two. One is Mila, and one is Pesach. And Mila, Lamaisa, it's not mamish chorus, it's only for the basof that you don't, when you grow up, you don't do it, then it's chorus. But for Tinoch, he's not mechuyev. And the father, it's not so. It's a mitzvah sheyeshbo chorus. And Pesach has chorus. What is chorus? Chorus means you're cut off spiritually. That means a person doesn't bring Korban Pesach, right? That he can bring one. It's chayav chorus. You don't find that by many korbanos. You don't find that. What's special about Korban Pesach? So, Mila we can understand. Mila, Bris Mila, is the bris, is the covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. And there is a kesher between Bris Mila and Korban Pesach. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam there explains that like one of the tamim for Bris Mila is that the orla, the foreskin, the orla, right? That causes taivas atashmish, the desire for physical connection. And the cutting off of that foreskin is memait desire. It reduces our desire. And that's an appropriate thing, so that we memait our desire in such a connection. So that connection shouldn't be such a physical connection. And in such doing that, we're more reconnected to our spiritual. And that's why you see in Bris Mila you say, Kashem Shikanis the Bris, Ken Yikanis the Torah Lukhupa Maisim Torah. Miut HaTaivas, the miut of a person's taivas is something which brings a person closer to Torah. That's why there's many chazazes. A person should daven that before Divrei Torah comes to his mouth, you should daven that Achile Vishtir shouldn't come into his stomach. I.e., that it's a stira. Torah and physical desire is a stira. There's also a famous Rambam. There's a Rambam at the end of. That means you shouldn't have the desire for physicality, for physical indulgence. Yeah, it shouldn't be something. It should be something that the person's memayet. Miut shena, miut tanug. It's a Mishnah. You should know. So yeah, it means. No. It doesn't mean you shouldn't want food and drink. You shouldn't have the desire. You shouldn't. The food and drink shouldn't be something that's, you know, occupying us. A person has two parts of him. He has a physical part and a spiritual part, right? The physical part, you know, wants a schnitzel. The spiritual part wants a geshvaka davening, a nice tosfos, a good learning, right? It's a stira. We live with that stira. The point is that the physical should be connected to the spiritual in which, to the extent that the spiritual is so nitkan, so fixed, that it's nimshach achare the spiritual. David HaMelech used to say, that raglai, my legs, used to bring me to the base of Medrash, right? My legs used to bring me to the base of Medrash. It means even down to his legs. Remember, David HaMelech was Merkava de Malchus. He represented the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, right? So even his legs would bring him to the base of Medrash. I mean, he was so perfected in terms of his expression of his physical goof, a complete expression of Malchus, that even his legs would bring him to the base of Medrash. Okay, that's the God. So we should... Torah, there's a stira between Torah and physical desires. There's also a Rambam. The Rambam, the end of Hilchas Isurei Bia, the Rambam there says that a person can't have two things in his mind. He says the desires for women and the thinking of women. I mean, if we have a Rambam, I'll read it inside, but basically, the desires for women is only with a person whose lev, his heart, is panui midivrei Torah, is free from the words of Torah. That means if you're learning and your mind is in the words of Torah, then you won't have on your mind desires for women or other physical desires. If Rambam is speaking, it's the Rebbe is speaking about women. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes when you're learning, you still have that problem.
Huh?
Sometimes when we're learning, we still have that problem.
Let me explain you something. I'll explain you another Gemara. There's, first of all, we are, you know, most of us are quite old. You know, a religious boy, you know, should really be married by the age of 21. 21, 22, they get married very early. So, you know, even according to the Gemara, 24, you know what I'm saying? It's a late time. Not everyone should. And also, if you're disturbed by those things, I'm not saying you, each one's an individual question, but if a person's disturbed, he should be thinking about getting married, you know, because it affects his learning.
What if someone's already married and they have thoughts?
That's I don't know why.
Like,
isn't
even
it?
About the word, that's
fine. I'll explain to you that usually if a person's married and he has that with those problems, he's usually some problems with his shalom bayis. There's usually some problems. There's not a good connection between the
even if they're thinking about their wife, thinking about their wife.
Yeah,
I
didn't know what you meant by thinking about
women.
Yeah,
I'm saying like
thinking about their wife.
Like,
once
I can't wait.
No,
one more week till my wife gets off her. You know, like
okay, fine. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I think Chazal say a very important thing. Chazal say there's a Chazal on this. Chazal say when a person's married, he less thinks because he has pat basala. He has it's available. When something's available, a person less thinks. When something's not available, it's harder for a person, so the person can think more about those things. But let me explain to you. First of all, there's a problem of age.
Yeah.
I mean, Al Pi Torah, this is not... A person shouldn't be getting married at 25, 26. He should be getting married much earlier. And, you know, naturally, a person, when he comes to that age, you know, he'll have problems with his thinking. Second of all, is a background. A person comes from a certain background. And if you know, if a person comes from a certain background that he's seen certain things or experienced certain things, those have an effect on him. It has an effect on him. The more a person eats certain types of food, the more he desires to eat. The more he enjoys food, the more he'll desire food. The less he, you know, that's a fact of life.
Learning Torah.
No, the Torah has an ability to fix things, but it takes time. You know, like a person, you know, is getting off something, right? He had something, some poison he has in his system. So he now eats good food. So the poison takes time till it flushes through his system. The Torah will fix those things, but it'll take time. Baruch Hashem, you guys have been learning for a year and a half. But eventually the Torah it'll remove it from his system. Now, and there's another reason also. There's another Chazal. I didn't intend to speak this, but okay, since you mentioned it, I'll speak it out. There's a very important Chazal. And I don't know, maybe it's a good time to speak this out, because I don't know, maybe... the Chazal say, Eva cotton, yesh ba'adam. Person has a small Eva, small limb, yesh ba'adam. Masbio, he feeds it. He's ra'ev, he's hungry. Marivo, he starves it, he's saver, he's satiated. So in the modern world there's a tendency, you know, a lot of boys, I know in Machon Shlomo, I don't know too much here, but a lot of boys come in, you know, if you understand what I'm talking about, that's the Mokum Hamila, the place of the Mila. So the modern world, it's a normal thing. You know, a person has excess liquid. It's a necessity for him to remove that excess liquid. So in the modern world, it's quite a normal thing. But the boy will remove that excess liquid from him in whatever way he does it. Right? And that's an acceptable and a healthy thing. And doctors recommend it. You know, I have never spoken to a doctor about it, but that's what I've heard from the boys. And doctors recommend it. So look, that's a steer to what Chazal say. It's a steer. Chazal say a lot about these things. Chazal, first of all, say that if a person does such a thing, I forget the Issa of a person who does such a thing is Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's a pretty bad thing, right? Erva Onan, we learned from Psukim in Chazal, Erva Onan. They died, B'yad Hashem. Now, I'm not telling you guys, I don't like you, like, worried or whatever, but it's a serious thing. Second of all, there's a Rambam. The Rambam says when a person does such a thing, he loses Mimor Einav, he loses from the light of his eyes, and it causes him atzvus. It causes him depression. Now, why depression? Because I'll explain. The shorish of depression is, what is this thing? This thing is, this issue with a person is his essence. So wasting his potential is depression. Proper chibur, proper connection, which is pruravu, proper connection, when a person takes his essence and is fruitful and multiplies, I mean, he's expressing it in a proper way, that gets proper expression, that brings a person to simcha. And the opposite is atzus, when a person wastes his potential. So it's a concept as well. And it's a concept in, you know, the ma'or einav, the eyes is this place for his neshama. We see a person's neshama in his eyes, you see the brightness of his eyes. You look at a person, you see a person has a bright eyes, you know he's doing the right things. He has dull eyes, you'll know that he's not doing the right things. And you can tell this very clearly in people. You can tell people who spend their time doing wrong things, they have very dull eyes. I mean, this is a Rambam. I'm not, you know, this is not, this is a Rambam. Anyway, so now, we have a stira. The doctors say something, they have, it's normal for us to have excess, and Chazal say the opposite. Right? And I'm sure they have statistics, I mean, I've never checked it. There's not a stira here. The dog, what does Chazal mean by feeding it? Chazal don't mean feeding it means, you know, like letting things happen. Chazal, when they say feed it, means what you see as well. If you're on the internet, and I know, you know, in Machon Shalom it happens, you're on the internet and a lot of things pop up. That's feeding it. If you don't have a proper, you know, or you, people watch movies, and, you know, movies have a lot of non productive, non things that we shouldn't be seeing. That's called feeding it. Or if a person goes out and he sees things and he notices and he looks or he stares, right? Looking, person can't not look. But staring, something else. You know, I can stare at you and I can see you. And I don't have to see you. I know that you're around, but I'm not looking at you. You understand what I'm doing? I'm looking behind you. I can still see you. I can still maneuver my way, but I'm not looking at you. So it depends how a person walks, how he goes outside. But that's called feeding it. If a person feeds it, he's going to have problems. Don't expect not to have problems if you're feeding it. So if a person doesn't want to have those problems, he has to stop feeding it. That's as simple as that. And if he learns Torah, the Torah will sort him out. The Torah will... That's a Rambam. That's also a Rambam. I'm not making, you know, not making up you know, stuff. I'm telling you Rambams. So Rambam at the end of Hilchos is a Rebbeah.
What's going to fill your headspace?
Yeah. If you're steiging and learning, and you're thinking and learning, and the Rambam explains it, the av of a Torah is like the av of a woman. Shir Hashirim, it's an av of a woman. Torah is called Isha. The Groh in Shir Hashirim, in Eshes Chayil, says Torah is like an Isha. You're also davening for your Torah, you're neshama. So that's what Chazal says. So if you don't, if you stop feeding, if you starve it, you won't have those thoughts. Those thoughts will go away. And obviously, again, the toxins of the past will be flushed through the Mayim of Torah. Flushing through your system will remove those toxins and they won't affect you. And B'zvan Hashem also, you know, you're old and you need to get married. So all those three things are the reasons why we have those things. Now let's go back to what we originally wanted to speak about, the Bris Mila. So, yeah.
Why is Bris so huge on
seeking Chol? I don't know too much about Breslov, but it's according to Kabbalah, and you know, a lot of Hasidim are into more Kabbalistic things, but according to Kabbalah, this Avera doesn't have a tikkun. This Avera, you can't do tshuva on it. This Avera, or spirit, yeah, you can't do tshuva on. Now, it doesn't really mean you can't do tshuva. Everything has tshuva. The tshuva for this is Torah. The tshuva for this Avera is Torah. So everything does have tshuva, but that's the tshuva for this thing. So the Tikkun Klali is a way of doing tshuva, fixing this Avera. So since in Kabbalah it's a big Avera, so they have, you know, Hasidish. I don't know why specifically Rav Nachman, and I don't know why, I don't know too much about Breslov, but I could imagine that would be the reason why Hasidim or Breslov specifically would have maybe those things. And it could be to do with the type of Hasidus there are. You know, certain Hasidim which deal with more basic people, and certain Hasidim which deal with more other type of people. You understand? So it could be those people have more. I don't know. You know, I don't know too much about breast love. Okay. So anyway, I didn't intend to go there to speak about this, but maybe it's useful if you want to hear it. So now let's go back to the bris mila. Bris mila is the thing which has chorus. So it's to remove that desire of connecting to the physical world or connecting to that which is physical. And if a person doesn't have a bris mila, that means his connection to the physical is stronger. And that means he's going to be removed from connection to the spiritual. And that's what is chorus. Chorus is the inability to connect to the spiritual world. The cutting off. That means you, without that bris mila, there is that element that you're going to be disconnected because you're too connected to the physical and you're not going to be able to make that connection. Right? Okay, so that's that. Now, why Korban Pesach? What is Korban Pesach? Korban Pesach is a chorus? Why should there be Korban Pesach? So, you have to understand what Korban Pesach is. I mean, our whole Chag is around the Korban Pesach. Nowadays, we eat the Afikomen, it's been called Korban Pesach, right? Right? So, and our whole Seder, Leil Seder, is really the Leil Seder, Dumye de Korban Pesach. It's a similarity to Korban Pesach, the eating of the Korban Pesach, right? So it's very important, and Chag HaPesach is called on the Korban Pesach. What is this Korban Pesach? What is it? What did we happen in Mitzrayim? What happened when we took a Korban Pesach? So Chazal tell us that the seh, the sheep that was taken for a Korban Pesach, was the seh of Avodah Zorah of the Egyptians. And Ku Seh, it says, take this Seh of Avodah Zorah, which the Egyptians, which Klal Yisrael at the time, we were on.
Did everyone have their own?
Yeah. Everyone had their own. But take this Seh of Avodah Zorah of the Egyptians, which everyone had their own Seh, and Chazal tell us that the Egyptians, they were biting on their, like they're biting on their tongue, biting on their teeth, because they were taking their Avodah Zorah and shechting it. They're taking the Avodah Zorah of the Egyptians and shechting it. Klal Yisrael were on such a low level, right? They had Dam Mila and Dam Pesach. So you see there's a connection. Dam Mila and Dam Pesach. If you're an Orel, if you don't have Mila, you can't bring Korban Pesach. You're not connected. So you're in order to bring Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is the Korban that mafrish us, separates us from Avodah Zorah of the Egyptians. Because at the time of Pesach, there was a kitrug. There was, how you say kitrug? There was a there was like a talk against Klal Yisrael. Elu of the Avodah Zorah and Elu of the Avodah Zorah. Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Well, what's the difference? The Korban Pesach was the difference. The Korban Pesach is we were on the 49th level of Tumah. Had we reached the 50th, that wouldn't come out of Egypt. There's no coming out. The Korban Pesach was to mafrishash from the Avodah Zorah of Egypt and lachnisas to Kedushas Yisrael. To bring us into Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael, that's the beginning. Two things bring us into Kedushas Yisrael. The Bris Mila, the separation from the Taivas, Mitzrayim, the Maral explains. Mitzrayim, there's a famous Maral, he explains about Hadome Lechamo. Right? The Chamor, Dome le Chamor is Yishmael. The Chamor itself, Chomriut, is represented in Egypt. The Chamor, it's the Chomri, the completely Chomri. Asher Basa Chamorim Bisaram. Vizir Matsusim Zirmatam. They're completely Chomim. Mitzrayim was Ervas Aris, represented the world of Chum, of physicality. The Bris Mila was to remove us from that physicality, and the Korban Pesach was to remove us from the Avodah Zorah. Chazal say, why did Klal Yisrael serve Avodah Zorah? What's the reward of Avodah Zorah? We don't understand Avodah Zorah. This diet, bowing down to this little Buddha over there, or whatever. We have no concept because the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah was taken away from the world. Chazal say the Yetzirah of Arayis we have today is less than the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah, but that's how we have to understand it. And Chazal say, why did Klal Yisrael serve Avodah Zorah? Latir lehem et Arayis, to be matir them, to make mutter for them the wrong promiscuous relationships. Well, how is that? What's Avodah Zarah mati you? How? Because you have to understand something. When you're mati, when you allow yourself sheker, you can live a world of sheker. You can live a world of non-truth. You can live with falsities. If you notice, all these Arab, African tribes which still serve Avodah Zarah, all their, you know, their, you know, their dances and stuff like that, it comes down to Arias in the end. Arias is promiscuity. Yeah, comes down to promiscuity in the end. All the Avodah Zarah that we have in the world eventually gets to promiscuity. That sort of, anyway, that's Avodah Zarah. So the point of separation of Klal Yisrael from two basic things, from the desires, that's the Bris Milah, and from the separation, the complete separation of that, that's through removing that sheker from our lives. Removing that sheker, that lies of living a life of lies, that's Korban Pesach. Now, what is Korban Pesach? We all do Leil Seder. We all do night. What happens in Leil Seder? Even non-from Jews, it's a family reunion. It's a family day. The birth of the Jewish nation was the birth of Korban Pesach, the birth of a family. Now, what's the birth of a family to do with separation from promiscuity and Avodah Zarah? What's Avodah Zarah? What's the source of Avodah Zarah? The source of Avodah Zarah is Ani. Kol HaKoes, the Gemara says, anyone who gets angry, Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. It's as if he's serving idol worship. What it means he's serving idol worship? He's just getting angry. What do you do when you get angry? Ani. How could you do this to me? How dare you do this to me? It's me. The Anochi in me is the Avodah Zarah. The ego in me, right? Or the, I don't know, the id, the ego, whatever. But that ego in me, that's Avodah Zarah. I want to do what I want. I did it my way. That's Avodah Zarah. So we don't say I did it my way, we did it God's way. We mevatel ourselves to something higher than us. You understand? That's Avodah Zarah. What is a family unit? Believe me, anyone who has kids, he's not doing it for himself. You know? You have a kid, they're born. As soon as they're born, they eat every 3 hours or 2 hours. Right? That means you're not sleeping. Your wife's not sleeping. She's feeding the kids, she's not sleeping. And you're not either because you're burping. Right? They have gas problems, then there's teething. Right? They forget this when they grow up, but your parents went through this, and this is just, you know, you're so happy you have a kid, right? Then you have 3 months of not sleeping. If you're lucky. If you're not lucky, it could be 6 months, and then who knows how. Then there's teething, and then there's growing up. Kids, you have to give. You have to mevatel yourself to something else, which you love, which you care for. It's a complete, a parent's life is a life of giving. A family life is a life of giving. If you don't want family life, you want to get married at the age of 40, because you don't need to get married, you can have all the girls you want beforehand, at least in Manhattan, right?
Yep.
And you're not interested in married, you're not interested in getting married, so that's living a life of Avodah Zarah. That's not living, you're not interested in a family life. And even when you eventually do get married, you know, you so you find the nicest looking girl that you can find with the biggest age difference, right? And then you marry her. Of course you don't have a good marriage because the age difference is too big and you're not interested in really having a conversation with her, right? So, you know, I'm sure Eileen will tell you what happens in the secular world. We don't need to talk about it, but we all know. 60% divorce rates and all the other things which happen which we don't even want to talk about this year. If you live a life for yourself, you're not interested in marriage. You're not interested in family. The birth of family is the birth of giving. That's hafrosha from Avodah Zarah. That's not looking at yourself as ani. That's the birth of the Jewish people. That's why Pesach is a time of what? Of chesed. Pesach is the chag of chesed. It's a time. Spring, things come out into the world, sprout into the world. The first blossoming, we make a broth on the first blossoming. It's chesed. Yeah? Love, it comes out. Yeah? It's blossoming, it's chesed. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is din, right? Gvura, well, I understand that. It makes sense, yeah? So, and what's the purpose of this Pesach? What's the purpose to bring out a Jewish family? But we know from Chazal, Rashi brings. What schus did the Jewish people have to come out of Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu asked that question. And he saw, to serve me on this mountain. What to serve me on this mountain? What to do on this mountain? Kabbalah Torah. The tachlis of Pesach, straight after the first day of Pesach, what do we have? Sfiras HaOmer. We count down, to count up to Torah. 49 levels of Tumah, 49 levels of Tara, then we get the Torah. So the purpose of the family is what? To be Mekabel Torah. The purpose of a Jewish life is to bring up a family in a Torah way. That's the purpose.
Why do I have to start the second day of Pesach, not the first?
Because the first day of Pesach, the first day of Pesach is, it's brought down, the Mefarshim bring it down. It's brought down, the first day of Pesach, we were given the Maila of this influence. It's a very, very big day. Leil Pesach is a tremendous day. Night of Pesach is like a day. Leil Shemurim, Min HaMazikim. We don't keep our doors open. We have no fears on Leil Pesach. The hashpa, the influence on Leil Pesach, is like Shavuos itself. But that's what's given to us, Shelo Ba'avoda, without work. Without work. It's Nisi. When we came out of Mitzrayim, we didn't deserve to come out. We were on the 49th level of impurity. We didn't deserve to come out. But Derech Nes, we came out. We did Korban Pesach. We did Bris Milah. But Damaya Chayi. Right? The two dams of Dam Mila, Dam Pesach. We had something that gave us a zika, a little schus to get out. We didn't deserve to get out in the way we got out with Nisim Veniflos. Right? With Esa Makas, we didn't deserve that. That was Chesed Hashem. The 49 levels that we work after Pesach, after the day of Pesach, we went back to normality. Now the 49 days before Shavuos is us working for that level. Us with our own work, working to get that level in of ourselves. And then when we work to get to the 49th level, the 50th level, which is Shavuos, we get as a matana. We get as a present. But it's then we deserve it. We deserve to get it. That's Nama. Before Pesach was Nama de Kisufa. Was an unearned bread. Shavuos is an earned bread. And on Shavuos we come back. We don't have Shavuos. We're not shy after Shavuos. We're shy after Yom Kippur. But Shavuos is when was the Chet. Our Egel was not Chet Egel, sorry. The Chet of Adam HaRishon was Nifsak, was removed. And we reached, in theory, the level of the Chet before the Chet. The level before the Chet. Pascha Zumata Shel Nachash. That's what Gemara says. Removed at Kabbalah Satera. Removed Zumata Shel Nachash. Removed the every single Jew. Was removed the who was at Har Sinai. Was removed that poison of the snake. That impurity that the Chet brought on us. Now the truth is, I mean, there's more details here. The truth is, it wasn't completely. It was only the Dibrot that we heard from God Himself. The Dibrot that we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the same impact. Because, I mean, that's a separate Gemara. That's a Gemara, that's a Shir for Shavuos. That's what we're going to go into here. So now, let's go back to Pesach. What do we do on Leil Seder? What do we first do? First, before we get to Leil Seder, what do we do? What are you doing? What are you spending 2 weeks in Yeshiva doing, right? And some of you want to make some money. What are you going to be doing? Cleaning up. 2 weeks of cleaning up. You've heard of such a thing?
Nope.
Truth is, you don't need to clean up so much. If you learn the halachas, if you spend one week cleaning, learning the halachas of Pesach, you realize you don't have to clear up so much that you think you have to clear up. Most people that they do, well, the clearing up they do is unnecessary, but Klal Yisrael Kadoshim, they do more than they need. That's why even the most people who are the furthest from Yiddishkeit still cleaning up for Pesach. People still clean up. People buy new kelim, they clean up. Even people who don't keep that much, they'll still do Leil Seder, they'll still eat matzah, and the next day they'll go to work. they'll still keep something because it's such, it's so in how you say, mushrash, so so ingrained in them because of all these chumras that we keep in Pesach, that it's still something's kept by them. Hello, I don't know, I don't know. I know in England it's like that, by Sfarim certainly it's like that. I don't know enough about America. It's something, it's a lot of people, even who aren't so from, still keep Pesach. You see, the shops, at least in England, you see, the shops, even people who have no shaykhis to, you know, like frumkeit, to come and buy their matzahs, they're coming into all the kosher shops to get all that they need. It's an amazing thing that. Now, why? What are we doing? We're trying to get rid of chametz. What does chametz represent? Huh? Gaiva. Gemara, it's a Gemara. It's a Sor Shiva Isa, Zu Yetzahara. It's a Yetzahara. The Gaiva is because if you eat bread, right? Matzah, what it is. You see it. Leaven, unleavened bread, it's, you know, you could squash it down. There's a lot of holes in there, right? It's much bigger than it really is. Yeah? That represents the Yetzahara. The Yetzahara, desires are always bigger than when you actually have them.
The opposite of the bris.
Yeah, it's the opposite, right? It's the opposite. The bris is to negate, to mimic the desires. Right, yeah, very good. Now, we're removing, what are we removing on Pesach? We're removing our Yetzirah. We're removing our chametz. Why is that? Because we're not on the level, there's a concept in psychology called repression and sublimation. When you're on a low level, you can't deal with sublimating those aspects of self. You can only repress them and remove them from you. Klal Yisrael were like a tinok, like a child in terms of their spiritual level. The only way they could cope with that influence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to remove from themselves any aspect of the Yetzirah. Now, the building starts on Leil Seder. How do we build ourselves? The tachlis is Shavuos. I'm going to show you how we get there. Pesach. What does Pesach mean? So there's a notricon. Pe means the mouth. Sach speaks. That's what we do in Leil Seder. Kol hamarbe harizem mishubach. He's praiseworthy. Anyone who's marbe and saying the Haggadah is praiseworthy. What's Haggadah? Haggadah means lahagid, to reveal. What are we teaching our family, and what's the basis of family life? If I were to ask you one word to tell me, what's the basis of family life?
Pesach.
Okay. But I want more.
Are you
okay, good. The yours come. Imun, trust. Emuna. Leil Pesach, we teach our children Emuna. Emuna in Kodesh Baruch Hu is also Imun, trust between parents. The breakdown of family life is when parents argue. And there's no trust between the children. Children see parents argue, they break their trust. They lose their imun. They lose their imun, and imunah is also from ima. Ima is a concept of imunah. The house is the wife. If the wife is solid, the house is a solid house. The husband can even be a little bit funny, but if the wife is no good, the children won't come out well. Because the house is the wife. But, you know, you have some husbands who are like wives, but it's, unless he's at home, my wife's at home most of the time. She brings up the children. She's the one. It's very important. Most people, when they go on dating, they think about a partner, which is important. Because if she's not a partner, you're not going to have a good connection. But you have to think about, is she going to be a good mother? That's a very important thing. You're going to have, the children are going to be, depending on who she is as a mother. Anyway, so imun. Now, how do we develop that imun in a child? What do we do on the Leil Seder?
So, like,
we tell them the story of the Haggadah, that's what we do?
I assume.
No, we don't do that. What do we do? You sit at the start of the table. As soon as you start the Leil Seder, what do? You go and do the Tillis Yadayim. So the first question is, and then you dip twice. Why are you doing the Tillis Yadayim? We haven't started the Seder. Why are you dipping twice? You only dip once. We're doing things that the children will ask questions. Then you take the kara, the thing, you put it on the other side of the table.
But what are the other side of the table?
The matzahs. You put on the other side of the table. When you start eating, right? You put the matzahs, you put your bread on the other side of the table. You ever did that on Shabbos meal? You ever went to someone's house on Shabbos night and the husband was sitting there with his two challahs and then the wife comes along and takes the challahs and puts the other side of the table? You wouldn't think that was weird?
I would think that was weird.
Okay, that's what we do on Pesach. Right? Why do we do those things? Why do we do those things?
So the kids ask questions.
Right. How do you put in a child emunah? How do you bring something? When a person has a question and you give him an answer, why is this nice different? Why are you doing these funny things with daddy? When a person has a question, when you ma'orer a person to question, then he's mekabel an answer. If you just tell over a story, it's less interesting. People sleep over stories if it's very long, and they'll say it's very long. It sleeps. You ma'orer them. You do all sorts of things to ma'orer them, to make them up, to ask questions. And therefore, you should improvise. You should improvise. So you don't have to do only what the Haggadah says. You can do your own improvisation. You know, do your own things. I know, when, you know, you throw, like, one of my brother-in-law. So when we were in Leil Pesach, so he made like these marshmallows, small marshmallows, and he used to have the kids, so, you know, and then for what's it called, for hail, he used to throw the marshmallows at them. And, yeah, and then he like fakes blood, so he's like pour wine, and like, you know, you can do all these things for kids. You do, yeah, plastic frogs you can throw.
Did you ever
like
the marshmallows on fire?
No, you can't do that. That was a good one. Your wife would be too pleased about that. You also have to worry about your shalom bias. Yeah, it could be good work. You understand? You have to do things la'orer. Now, why is that a way of teaching? These are mishnayos. This isn't just the Haggadah. These are mishnayos in Arba Tzachim. You're ma'orer a person to a question, huh?
Is it mishnayos
where? In Arba Tzachim, the last perek in Tzachim. These are mishnayos. You're ma'orer a person to a question. And then he's interested in an answer. And why is the foundation? That's the foundation of Jewish life. When we give a child emunah in something higher than them, and we, the parents, are explaining them about that thing which is higher than them, the emunah in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu, kam imaleinu lechaloteinu, v'Kodesh Baruch Hu, matzileinu miyadam, every time, v'hi she'amda, and he saves us, and again he saves us, and again, you bring a child to that trust that someone's protecting him, someone's looking after him, and he realizes also that his parents are there to protect him, to look after him. And just as his parents have some big daddy up there, they also have the small daddy, but also have that big daddy. And that gives him an emunah, a trust. And that's what brings a healthy family life. Judaism, all our festivals, is to build this family. The family unit is the most important unit in the Jewish people. And that's what Pesach's all about. Now, in order to build a family, you have to remove first the chometz. Why? The birth of a nation. When a woman gives birth, she can give birth anywhere. Has to be sterile. Why? Because when a child's first born, he's weak. Any chaydak, any virus, anything could affect him very, personally at birth. At birth, a little bit of less oxygen could damage the brain. It's very sensitive birth. So we have to have sterile. Sterile, in spiritual terms, means sterile from chametz, sterile from the Yetzer Hara. Very sensitive to birth. Anything can affect it. So we want that Leil Seder to be free of chametz, free of Yetzer Hara. That's the birth of the Jewish nation, yeah.
Is that a literal metaphor? Like, people gave birth, did they get rid of their chametz in their house? And
No. Metaphor is yeah, chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. Okay. So spiritual cleanliness means removing the Yetzer Hara. I say that's why we remove chametz on Pesach. There's an Arizal. The Arizal says if someone doesn't find chametz in his house on Pesach, it's brought down. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down. I don't know if it's the kid for Ari, but it's brought down b'shem Mishnah Berurah.
Chametz also arrogance.
Yeah, it's arrogance. It's lifted up. But the Yetzer Hara, which represents the chametz, right? If he doesn't find chometz in his house, he's muftach that he won't do averus that year. That's what's brought down with Shem Ari. Mishnah Berurah brings it down. Shem Ari. It's not in the Kitvei Ari, but it's brought down. The Mishnah Berurah brings it. It's probably Mishnah Berurah brings it. I think maybe it's a Mogen Avraham. Anyway, so now let's go back. Now that we've born and we've built that emunah in our family, we've built that trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the birth, and that's very important, that trust that we've built is without any psoled, without any virus is around, averas around, right? Move from those things. We have a clear building block that we can build on. Now we build. Now we have the Sefiras HaOmer. Now we count. Right? It's a count up to Matan Torah. What do we have on Shavuos? What do we have on Shavuos? There's only two korbanos that we can bring chametz on. A todah, a korban todah, it's a shlomo, we bring chametz. And the kivsei aseret on Shavuos, we bring chametz. We bring the chametz. The chametz represents the Yetzirah. We now makriv the Yetzirah. On Shavuos, now that we get Torah, we can use the Yetzirah. Torah tavlin li Yetzirah. Torah is a spice. So some people learn that Gemara. Tavlin, the simple pshat is tavlin. Tavlin in the time of the Gemara used to be that like a portion, like a doctor's portion. So it's a refuah for the Yetzirah. But you know, we can learn it up differently. It's spice. It spices up the Yetzirah. And there's also a chazal for that. It says, we say that chazal every day. At least twice a day. Three times maybe. V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavacha. Why levavacha b'chol libecha? Levavacha, even with your Yetzirah, you should love a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How do you love a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So it's a Rambam. Loving Kodesh Baruch Hu is loving Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Dveikus to Torah. The Dveikus to Yisrotzen. You love him with your Yetzirah. It's the better. How do you love him? When you argue with your chavrusa, it's completely l'shem shemayim. It's really l'shem shemayim. But you argue, you get out of bed as far when you argue, don't you? That's the Yetzirah. But you're loving him with the Yetzirah. You're using Yetzirah. That's tavlim. It spices him up. It makes him good. And it's machlish the Yetzirah. It's using the Yetzirah for positive things. The Yetzirah is not intrinsically ra that we have to remove it. We have to use it positively. Gemara says that they wanted to remove the Yetzirah for arise from promiscuity in the world. They removed it. The Chachamim and Davin, it should be removed. The chickens didn't lay eggs. You can't have a world like that. What are you going to eat for breakfast? What are you going to eat, right? I mean, obviously other things happened as well, but simple Yetzirah, you need it. If a person doesn't have like this concept to be proactive, right, and to, you know, to be do pruvah, he's not going to do things in the world.
You should find Yetzirah in that context as like drive.
Yeah, drive. A person that has a drive. Certain drives, if they're directed positively, are good things. Problem is that drives can be directed incorrectly. That's a wrong thing. Marriage is not a wrong thing in Judaism. Marriage is a very positive thing. And you're not supposed to get married and not have